You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
What we need to do is start putting our confidence and our faith in the Lord and teach us to number our days. Because if my time is up, I want to make sure that I've done everything that I can do, hallelujah, to be the best that I can be right now. And you don't know when the toll or when the bell will ring. Thank you, Lord. And I just believe God wants me to get his people ready for his coming. And so by doing that and setting goals and strategies, we begin a new year.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Monitoring Progress. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Psalm 90, verses 1 through 5 and 12.
Psalm 90, verse 1 through 5. The word reads like this: Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Come on, Moses, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday, when it is past and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass, which grows up. And it goes on. But I'm going to look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Come on, everybody just say, That we may gain a heart of what? Wisdom. That we may acquire or develop or grow in this area called wisdom. I'm dealing at the end of the year. I know we want to sing Christmas carols, and I understand that. But we got to finish this thing strong, and we're about to go into a season where we... tis to be jolly, fa la 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 la, because we got a Christmas program coming. But right now we need to look at how well or how far have we moved the ball down the field, or how tall have we become in stature over the last 12 months. I believe God wants us to finish this way to examine your life to see if you're really in the faith. And so I'm dealing with growth markers, a growth marker review. That's the series. Today I want to deal with monitoring progress, part two, marker number one, which is submission. So we're monitoring our progress. This is part two of that message. And we're dealing with growth marker number one, which is submission. We're going to look at submission to see if we've grown in stature concerning submission to God and his plan for your life. And I believe if we tie these markers into our lives and we start living by them, this can turn into a whole series, a whole conference, a whole leadership thing, and your personal growth and development. It can turn into a workbook to where people are really diving in to see if you're growing in the faith. I believe God will help us to recognize that we can't just play with our faith. We must take it serious. And we can grow thereby. Father, I give you praise for the markers and for the review, but also for the number one marker, which is submission. But I would ask that as I teach, that you would be glorified in us. I give you praise, glory, and honor for your work in us. Have your way in our lives. Anoint me afresh, like the dew in the morning, rest freshly on my heart. Lift your people, Lord, our awareness, our sensitivity, our wisdom, our prudence, our sagacity. And God, we will give you praise. I bind Satan that comes to limit us, the shackles, the prisons in our mind, strongholds that will not be moved. As a principality, I speak to the principalities that be. When I come against you, surrender. Principalities, surrender. So that God's people may surrender to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you clap your hands and give him praise? Well, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to take it to the devil. Are you ready to go with him? All right. Psalm 90 a lot of times is used as a backdrop to funerals. Teach us to number our days. I believe it's apropos to closing out a year, that we might incline ourselves to wisdom. Our confession of faith, get ready for it. Come on, this is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed, my heart is renewed, and ready to receive. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. Teach us to number our days, that we might incline, the King James says, that we might gain a heart of sagacity. An initial plan at the top of a year is so important. It refers to a first set of goals and strategies that you may set to outline yourself, to outline strategies you outline to structure your behavior throughout a calendar year. All days are equal to the Lord, but we must maximize calendar. God is a God of Chronos, or his moment where he can move, but we should master Kairos. Chronos. We should master Chronos, and God masters Kairos. The calendar year is Chronos. And within 12 months, you should number your days, or be able to say, this is what I did in January, and this is what I did in February, and this is what I missed in March, and this is what how I rebound in April, and this is what I was able to restructure in May. And this is what I was able to accomplish in June. This is what I was able to do in July. And the beat goes on. Teach us to number the days, so we have calendars that we work with. It is so professional and innovative now that you even have Google calendars. When I first came, everybody going to a meeting that had any substance would pull out a physical calendar book Some of it was leather, and I was like that. When I go to a meeting, I had a briefcase. I pull out my stuff, man, and I'm taking notes. And I love it. I can go down to at the time I would go to Office Depot, and I got my stuff every year because I like to be informed and be up to date. Now we got on our phones calendars, like a Google calendar, and it updates. You even got Google Docs. You can put a note in your Google Docs, and it will actually transform to other devices. You can carry it with you. Honestly, it is more easier to number your days today than ever before in human history. Yet many people are vaguely moving from one month to the next, not tracking their resources, not tracking their times. We're just wasting time. And when you waste time, you leak away purpose. And so God wants us to plug up purpose. He wants us to plug up the container of purpose so it doesn't leak. And it's very easy to leak, real easy to leak your purpose. So we number our days. And one of the reasons why we celebrate anniversaries, Israel had 7 feasts that they celebrated every year. Don't tell me anniversary don't mean anything. It's a part of numbering days so you can incline yourselves to wisdom. Why do we celebrate a birthday? Because you should be able not to just celebrate a birthday, but number the day. You remember your mother. You remember the wearisome toil. You bathe your navel. You make sure it's clean because that's the connecting point to make sure all people that came through the porthole here in Earth, if you don't have a navel, that means you are an alien. And you should be able to look around and see people that look like you and honor them, because when you get to your birthday month, God wants you to look at the fact that you didn't come here on your own. When you come into a church like this, everybody had to get up, put their feet on the floor, get dressed, and become purpose-driven. We're not getting paid to go to church, so why would we go? Because God commands us to go. Wow, if you don't put that in your mind, you'd be like just casual about it. The scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, for as often as you do, you gain strength. So look at it opposite, the opposite of that. If you don't assemble, what happens to your strength? I don't have to tell you. I'm telling you now. You don't get right with God if you don't come into the sanctuary to hear this message. If you always got something going on about what's happening in ministry, but you don't sit here. If you play and you worship on the platform, or if you dance, but you never sit under the word, you are not growing spiritually. Even if you help out in the ministry. You're not growing until you apply yourself to wisdom. And to apply yourself to wisdom is just like you would get any degree. You got to go to class. Man almost said something. Thank you, Lord, because it rhymes with class. We got to get ourselves together right now. You want to play with your spiritual growth and development? You want to play on Saturday night? Come in here just to do duty, but you don't have no kind of connection with God? Teach us to number our days. People are leaving this earth at an alarming rate. Just yesterday, it's not even packed out here. People are getting used to it. A massacre up in Rhode Island. A man walked in classroom, man, just shot kids. Like 8 or 9 hurt, 2 dead. We just had a National Guard person just killed, man, drove all the way from the other side of the country just to shoot him. This is absolutely absurd. I don't know why young people are playing. You think it can't happen? A plane just landed on I-95. I believe it's in Brevard County on top of somebody's vehicle. Y'all playing games, man. A plane landed on somebody's vehicle. Can you imagine that? You don't see it coming and you can be gone just like that? I think you're going to see metal falling out the sky. It's a whole lot of stuff going up there. Elon Musk is sending up stuff every week. Some of that stuff going to drop back down. I'm telling you right now, big plane, big engines dropping out the sky. What we need to do is start putting our confidence and our faith in the Lord and teach us to number our days. Because if my time is up, I want to make sure that I've done everything that I can do, hallelujah, to be the best that I can be right now. And you don't know when the toll or when the bell will ring. Thank you, Lord. And I just believe God wants me to get my people, but it's his people, ready for his coming. And so by doing that and setting goals and strategies, we begin a new year. And that strategy becomes a roadmap for success. You know, when you think about birthdays and you think about the celebration of them, think about 365 days, which is one calendar year, becoming a roadmap for what you would do in say, 10 years, and then 50 years, or centuries, 100 years. I want somebody to look up real quick. What is the term for 300 years? Somebody can do that for me. I can't think of it right now, but there's a term for 300 years. A century is 100. Half a century is 50. Quarter of a century. What is it? Tricentennial. That's good. Did I say it right? Tricentennial. Say what? Tercentennial. I need one person. Try and what? Ter. Say tricentennial?
Yes.
Let's say that. Tricentennial.
Yes.
Good. So that means three centennials. Right? 300 years. So I remember the term in passing reading a while back, but it couldn't come back up right now. But my point is, look how the formers are so concerned about time that they name what a 300-year period is. Most of us won't live 100 years. But somebody said we need to be able to mark something for 300 to put a term on it. A millennia is 1,000. And the scripture is powerful. For 1,000 years is as one day with the Lord. And one day as 1,000 years. From generation, Moses said, to generation. He's not just looking at what he can accomplish, but he's always thinking about tying things to the next generation.
Yes.
Those of us that number days, we don't just think about what we can accomplish. We think about what God wants to do with our children long after we're gone. Even the way we leave resources, because a good man would leave an inheritance to his children's. That's what scripture says. But we're living in a time now, perilous times, where men will be lovers of self more than lovers of God. In other words, I'm going to eat up and do everything for me because it's my time without being tricentennial. Multidimensional. Multigenerational. And so the way I'm growing as a leader is that as I grow, it's like something is happening to me. I can see him making me eternal. What I mean by that is you don't just die and go into heaven. You start experiencing the eternal life now. That means you start tapping into God thoughts. Oh, my God. You start seeing things the way he does. You start detaching from this earth and what's happening from day to day and when is the game coming. You start looking at what's going to happen when I go. What am I leaving? What marker am I going to leave? Who's going to know other than a tombstone that I was here? I want to be known after I'm gone. I want to leave a legacy. And when God touches a man or a woman, and when God touches that man or woman that's yielded in submission to him, he develops a unique print in their lives. God infusing his mind with a person. And when that happens, he develops a unique print. And when that person touches humanity, you can tell they were there. The reason why we're talking about markers is because God wants to be known as he operates in us.
Amen.
One of my favorite passages out of Galatians is little children. This is Paul talking to the church at Galatia. I travail with you in birth. I labor with you so you can come through the birth canal of salvation. Till Christ be formed in you. In other words, I got to nurture you until you can stand on your own. And no matter what comes or may, what comes in your life, I'm going to hold on to the cross and I'm going to hold on to the word of God. And I won't quit until, because there's too much life in me. So I travail with you in birth till Christ is formed in you. I want to see you after a year now. I want to see you able to take what God is saying and put it into practice. After a year of teaching, I want to see you able to budget. After a year, I want to see you being able to say, this is enough. I need to go home. After a year, I want to see, you know what? I need to get my attitude right. Because I'm not measuring up. I'm not pointing at them. I'm not telling them to look at me. I'm telling them to look to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Can y'all say amen?
Amen.
Oh my God. That's right. That's right, lady. Let me tell you, I'm a real modern day prophet. I'm not just here to preach because I can lay it down. What I want to do is make sure we're moving together. I'm transporting people and resources to some spot that I'm trying to find out where you're taking us, God. I'm moving by faith. And I believe if I teach, somebody's going to get it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. So 12 months. And over the next 12 months, we need to be able to look at some key advancements. Major priorities are set, key milestones, specific actions that we've taken. I want to raise up strategists, and I want people to be able to sit with me and help to put legs on vision. Strategist. We have a proliferation of prophets, but I think we got enough prophets. God raises up everybody that say they're a prophet. They're not prophet. They just have a gift to maybe say some things like a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. But I'm talking about we need prophets, real bona fide prophets, man, that got the mind of God.
Amen.
But we need interpreters. That's when the prophetic word goes forth. There's somebody that can put strategy with it. It's a major gap that's missing in the body. I'm asking God to fill the gap here at Truth Revealed with strategists that can sit down with me and not just say, God, say it. I want somebody to say, this is how we do it. Man, oh, Lord, keep me focused. I can hear you. This is how we do it. I can hear la, 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 la. This is how we do it. Put your hand in there. Touch him, Jesus. Help him. Help him, Lord. But I need some, this is how we do it, people, 21st century in ministry. This is how they did it, but this is how we do it. Oh, they did it. They did it. Bishop Mason did it, man. In his time, he did it. Look at his legacy. The Church of God in Christ is still booming today. It's still relevant today. Because Bishop Mason did it. And all of the great leaders in ministry. And you see the legacy still beaming today. Martin Luther, he did it. His manifesto still stands today. The early church fathers did it. They came together and prayed. Acts chapter 4, they prayed and the earth shook. The foundation shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They did it. But we need some, this is how we do it today. That long after we're gone, somebody will say they left a marker for us to follow. Marker number one, Randarabasa. My God, submission. Everybody say submission.
Submission.
Everybody didn't say it.
Submission.
See, everybody, listen. I can tell that means we struggle with this one. it's hard to get it out. I was preaching the first year of our church. We moved the second year of our church. We moved to our second location, which was Milwaukee Avenue in West Melbourne. And I said something about surrender to God and submission to authority. She must submit. And this lady said, You could hear her. She was so loud. I said, what in the world is going on here? I was young, too. I said, what in the world is going on here? I used the term, and I'm getting these kinds of, you know, I can hear you. And that thing still stands today. People have a problem with the word. Because this is the hardest on your flesh, is to surrender, to submit to God. Yeah. Write it down. We must submit to his word, his will, and his ways. Submit to his word, his will, and his way. His word, never changing. His will, this is how we do it. His way and the pathway or the method in how we do it. See, Israel saw what he did, but Moses wanted to know his way. A lot of people want to be spectators. Man, God opened up the Red Sea, but Moses was more intricate. If my ways please him, he gives me favor. Oh, my God. That favor method, Lord. Israel was able to see that he fed them with manna, but they got tired of it. Moses said, man, this manna must be a metaphor of something else that's coming. I liken it unto your word. I see your way. You feed us every morning. Do you want us to dine on your word every morning? Some people miss it. They just, well, when is the next shipment coming in? But God wants to teach you his way. The next shipment comes in because I'm sovereign. But if you want favor, obey me and worship me.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you are blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Monitoring Progress, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
High school seniors, don't miss your chance to apply for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship. This program supports future leaders through STEM and STEAM education. Applications are available at the Communication and Promotion Counter and are due Monday, January 26th. For details, email elders@truthrevealed.org. Registration is open for Six Man, the 2026 Men's Advance Reloaded, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, January 9th and 10th. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app, website, or scan the QR code to register for this action-packed event, which promises to be an unforgettable experience. Take advantage of the combo package and remember to order your conference t-shirt, polo, and jersey.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches. FM 94.7.
It's cute, and I know he meant well, but I was just hoping for a gift that was a little more personal, you know?
Trust me, I get it, and apparently you're not the only one. Look at the line of returns. It goes halfway around the store. Ugh.
Even with the best intentions, sometimes a gift can fall short of your expectations. But did you know there's one gift that meets your every need? Billy Graham explains.
God made his gift personal to you. I'm convinced that Christ would have died on the cross if I had been the only sinner in the world. He would have given his life if you had been the only one in the world that needed redemption. God made his gift personal.
Jesus Christ is God's gift to you, and you can accept that gift today by starting a personal relationship with him. Want to learn more? Check out our website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. From the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.